Shalom, and welcome to another episode with your host, Savoir Faire. And you're listening to Amethyst Dynasty. Today is still March the 5th. It's about 11:14 p.m. I'm coming to you with a late night little ponderosa. There's a few things on my mind, and I know that earlier episodes kind of just talked and discussed some things that I think about every day. And for tonight's episode, I kind of want to go a little spiritual with things and visit where everyone should kind of go and find some wisdom and understanding, since we're not getting that on the media or from our government right now. We're being told everything's okay, everything's just fine, everything's just well, it'll be all right, continue on as you may, and don't be dismayed, everything's under control, feel free to play, don't worry about it. Oh, it's just the flu. Oh, it's just SARS. But I don't think that's what the Bible has been saying. And I will say it's taken me a long journey to get here. I grew up in church. I think my great uncle had his own church in New Orleans. I was always there. I've always known, well, let's just say I've always been around the Word of the Most High. I can't say I've always known Him, because some of the things I've done in my life I wouldn't have done if I really knew it. And if I really understood then what I'm understanding right now, even as I speak, I would hope that the decisions I would have made would be terribly different. Completely different spectrum. But needless to say, what I've been through has brought me to this day. And I think that that's probably why I'm very firm when I believe something. I'm sure of it. And I can tell you that it is real. And I think it's a part of the cesspool of filth that we live in, this hell on earth, that is in the hands of the devil and the defiler, the deceiver, to get everybody off track, disengaged, distracted, and on the one-way train to misery and company in hell with him. Because let it be known, we do wrestle against spiritual principalities, and it's really shameful that the people who are the elite, or what we would consider elite, they've gone through every avenue and traction that they could to keep information from people, from we sheep. But again, that goes into me saying that it is important to be a little bit more self-efficient, especially Americans. I don't know about other countries. I know what I've been told. And they just do what they're told as well most of the time. But in our little democracy here, we are really shown how to do as we will. Everybody's doing whatever they want, living however they want, saying whatever they want, being who they want to be, whatever they mind, our minds. And I'm going to include myself there, because I'm not above anything. Everyone does whatever their mind describes to them. And we are living in a land full of wickedness. Every day, every second of every day, how many of you can say you're bombarded with evil? Either it's something happening around you, you may have a wicked thought, you may see or even discover something, but literally every second of every day is filled with vanity and wickedness. And it literally is probably exactly what was happening when Noah was alive and walking the earth. and probably even a little more, because then they had the Giants. Now we have spiritual situations. So I don't know which is worse, but hey, the goose or the gander. Let's dig in a little bit. And just to let everyone know, if you're listening, this is all my own journey with my podcast. I would like to get to the point that I do it completely full time. I think that I have a path that I'm supposed to follow, and I've been given the type of voice for a reason. So please do feel free to support me. Any donations are accepted and very, 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 very appreciated. Where do I start? I think that tonight I kind of want to delve into something I kind of didn't really know that much about until just now. The words plague and pestilence. Ooh, plague and pestilence. So, let's get into the definition of those. The definition of plague, and I did do a Google engine search for the biblical definition. I didn't want just what Webster may say or what they put in Strong's. I wanted, or just any regular scholarly given definition. I wanted specifically this one because, like I said, I think that when I'm done with this particular episode, you'll see exactly where we are. Hopefully, I pray everyone's eyes are open. But plague is anything that afflicts or troubles. I knew that. A calamity, a scourge. And then here we go. Any contagious epidemic disease that is deadly, especially bubonic plague. A nuisance, annoyance. Any of various calamities sent down as divine punishment. Plague is also known as an infection of the lungs. Pestilence means a deadly and overwhelming disease that affects an entire community. The Black Plague, a disease that killed over 30% of Europe's population, was certainly a pestilence. Pestilence is also one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation. Pestilence is also known as a fatal epidemic disease. Pause. Now, let's consider the coronavirus strains. You've got MERS, we have SARS, and now we have the coronavirus or COVID-19, and it is what they're defining, our illustrious powers that be, as an upper respiratory infection, which in layman's terms is daggone it, an infection of the lungs. Wow. And I'm not gonna curse right now. But that's the expletive. There's an expletive I really could submit right there, but I want everyone to be able to listen and hear what I'm saying. So I'm gonna curb that and say, wow. So the whole time they're saying that this is an upper respiratory infection, but biblically, the definition of a plague is an infection of the lungs, or any contagious epidemic disease that is deadly. Now, there's some scriptures that I want to kind of go into a little bit that I've read before, but again, like if you listen to my episode prior to this one, You can't read the Bible like it's allegorical. It's here to apply it to what's right now. And the more I'm reading it, not to sound like I'm some kind of big religious thumper, I have a lot of issues with some things. But one thing I know for sure, the Most High Living Elohim is real. And that is for you to find out for yourself. But I hope you find out sooner than later. And hopefully this episode will help you. But let's dig in a little bit more. Because even if you don't believe in the Creator, what you're about to hear right now is going to make you think. And that's important. People don't like to think. They like to get told what to do. Not me. So excuse me. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and if you're familiar with this, you know the first portion of the scripture deals with the blessings of Israel if we listened and obeyed and did not stray and sin and partake in pagantry and what the heathens and the Gentiles were doing, but we followed what God said, then these blessings would come. But then, let's go ahead and delve down to verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. And remember, we said pestilence is what? My little scholars, my little dynamites. A pestilence is an infection of the lungs. That's the small version. Or any contagious epidemic disease that is deadly. So, remember that. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Verse 24. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now I want to tie something in. I have an episode where I talked about something that I saw in the sky. Come Memorial Day weekend, will be 3 years. Out here where I am in Texas. And when I've been doing the research for everything, like people, if you go before they erase it and it's censored, people have had dreams about what I actually saw. And I am determined and pretty sure what I saw was a glimpse of Nibiru. And they're not telling you that it's out there. And that every time it passes over and under around the foundations of the earth, that it is creating a pull on the volcanoes, the magnetic field, earthquakes. It's causing hailstones. It's like a double-sided thing, apparently, where one side is cold, the other side is hot. And one side has the hail and the other side has the brimstone. It's, even if you don't know what it is, it's pretty much common sense. Where else did it rain from on top of Sodom and Gomorrah? But let's not go too far into that. So, verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until they be destroyed. I just really want to help me somebody understand, how then is it possible that this was bioengineered? God just said he's going to make, instead of it raining water, it's going to rain powder and dust coming down on us. That's what we're going to be breathing until you're dropping dead. That's basically what I'm seeing right here. The Lord, in verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. Consumption. And with a fever. And with an inflammation. Inflamed lungs. My God. It's almost like The devil is so shrewd. You don't even see it until it's busting you in the mouth, right? So here we have dust pneumonia, the plagues, the pestilences. And it's coming from heaven to destroy wickedness. And the wicked, and it causes dust pneumonia, sepsis, diabetes. Y'all, read it for yourself if you don't believe me. But it's like the logic you can get from the Bible, right? Which was created by the Creator, and all things were created by the Creator. Why is everyone so adamant to ignore what's in front of us and happening right now? Because I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, it's a bioweapon. I even made the mistake of saying that. But when I thought about it, and then I started reading, and I remembered what I saw, and I've been hearing that it's a red iron oxide that this thing gives off. And it's causing the dust pneumonia. It's causing diabetes and sepsis. And the closer it gets, let's just imagine this. The closer it's getting, the more havoc and dust it's bringing down. You don't have to believe me, but it's worth looking into. I think that we've been warned heavily, and because nobody really reads the Bible, most people usually just go to church on Sunday and listen to what the pastor says, or maybe he might do one scripture, maybe three or four, but that's it. And I mean, you don't read, how do you know? How do you even know what somebody's telling you is true? But anywho, I just wish people think about things and think about how crazy it really is that they're saying all these new diseases are coming around, but they all have the same symptoms. They're just renaming things to knock you off kilter so that you don't ask the hard questions, so that you don't look up. I don't think that there is any strange disease that hasn't been listed in the Bible. I do, for reading this, I'm shocked right now because I never read it with open eyes. The viruses that they're telling us about are coming down from this thing. It is a destroyer. It is known as the destroyer of the Gentiles. So before things get even more havoc wreaked and more tumultuous and more censored and more unbelievably wicked, and people start to lose their minds because they don't know the Most High, they don't believe in Him, they've never tried to live for Him, or they just have said, F it, I'm gonna do my own thing. It would be better to know now and be prepared than to know later and to be panicking, right? So let's look at Deuteronomy 28:61. Also, every sickness and every plague. What's a plague, y'all? An infection of the lungs, which is not written in the book of this law. Them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And 62, let's read some more. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou would not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. So if God is doing all of this, nobody's gonna give Him the praise for all of His glory and honor. We're just gonna skim on by like life is available to us every single day. I think that here in our country, everybody has had a partook in believing everything is gold and we're all right and we're so blessed. But the more that I am looking around and you see what's happening, I say we're in trouble. And I see things a little bit further than tomorrow. And I can guarantee that this year is gonna be a wild ride. But anywho, Numbers chapter 14, verse 12. I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. So does that mean that there's something to... there's something to this? Does that mean that perhaps man doesn't produce evil, but when you do evil and wickedly, the Most High comes in and destroys you? That he brings the pestilence, a deadly and overwhelming disease that affects the entire community? A fatal epidemic disease, the plagues, an infection of the lungs. Who else didn't know this? Because I can guarantee you I didn't. I've read this before. I've read it as a child. I read it a few months ago. But right now, right here, in this moment, it's like my eyes have been wired open and I can see. And I want to help you to see. It's not to scare you into a panic, but prepare. Open your eyes, people. Things are not as they are seeming, as we are being told. Everything is not all right. The shelves are bare. The cupboards are bare. People are going wreaking havoc. They've got a whole ship on the coast of San Francisco unable to dock. And people are probably infected in a petri dish. And there's no cure. The dust pneumonia has no cure. So let's look at what we just learned. Dust pneumonia is considered a plague and pestilence. It cleaves to your lungs until you be destroyed. Nibiru, as they call it, Korot 7b, Planet Hell, the destroyer of the Gentiles, are something that you've never even heard of. But you're going to hear it now. You'll probably see it soon. I would prefer you know it's there than for you to see it and have the type of shock that a lot of people are going to have. The red ball in the sky, that's what I'll say it is, is carrying the dust powder that's coming from heaven to destroy wickedness, the wicked, causing dust pneumonia, sepsis, diabetes. We've been warned of the plagues and the pestilence. There's nothing strange. There's no strange disease that's not listed in scripture. The so-called viruses have been sent down. They are not from earth, but they're from above. Pestilence comes down from heaven in the form of rain that's not water, but is powder and dust. Now, I felt inclined to do this because I'm seeing my feed that I watch is overwhelmed about the corona. And I can already see how it's going to be used for wickedness, people being sick. And instead of people taking the high road and humbling themselves and telling the truth, they're going to let you believe that you have something that's not true. We are being punished for our wickedness and for disobeying the Most High. Now, you can look at that as my opinion, technically, because it's not me writing it. It's my particular specific belief and faith. It's, matter of fact, it's not even just about faith. I've seen this thing in the sky, and I know how it made me feel. And it, if you could see it, you could see how it is extremely accurate, that it is giving off like an aura, a red aura, and it's making people sick. So what do you do? I would say don't sin. I would say study your word. I would say pray. I would say really seek out who God is. Even if you've decided you don't believe in that, even if you've decided it doesn't take all of that, I would look around and I would start studying. Because there are a lot of people that believe one way, and when things don't go that way, it's going to be beyond shock. I guess we'll see, my little amethyst Dynakins. I guess we will see. But be sure. Be sure of whatever you're doing. I would read it for myself if I were you. Don't just take what I'm saying. I could be making up stuff, right? Open the book and read it. Read it. And before I go, you know, a little bit about me. When I had my second son, he was about 3 months. And I remember having him, I was feeding him, and I took a break. My husband came in and he ran in the bathroom. He was like, "You gave him candy?" And I looked at him and wanted to be like, "Are you stupid?" But I was like, "No, why would I give an infant candy?" You know? He was like, "His mouth is red." And then all of a sudden, our baby had blood coming out of his nose, out of his mouth. And I just remember saying, and where we live was really remote at the time. There weren't, if we would have waited for an ambulance, no telling what would have happened. I remember just telling him, "Get in the car." We had on pajamas. I don't think I had on, whatever I had on, it wasn't proper. It was like night clothes. We hopped in the car. I didn't even like put him in his seat. I just held him up, and I remember praying the whole time. My husband was driving, and we tried to stop at the police station right where we were, but wouldn't you know, it was closed. Nobody was there. It was just empty. So I was like, "Let's go to the hospital." So we drove, and at that time we were like 25 minutes away, you know? So we get there, we rush him in, and they're like going to work, you know, a whole team of doctors and nurses. And we're in the ER, and me and my husband are just holding one another, praying, crying. I'm watching them try to stuff these tubes down our little infant's mouth, and none of them were working. And they finally got, the doctor came in, and he was like, "Your baby's really sick. Like, it could be fatal. Like, we don't know what's wrong. It's some kind of infection. We gotta fly him out. We've got the evac coming." And they have the proper tube for him. And I just remember, I couldn't break down. I remember crying, and we held each other. And it just was awful. It was an awful feeling to be so, watch somebody so innocent and helpless, you know? And my husband went with our baby, with our son, in the evac helicopter. And I had to drive to the house to get I didn't have an ID or purse, anything on me. I had to go back and get these things. And I remember driving the whole way there. And I declared right then and there, no matter what, I am not going to stop having faith in you, Most High. I will not stop praising you. I will not stop giving you the glory and the honor and the majesty, whatever is happening. Perhaps, you know, I know it's all going to work out perfectly in the end. And no matter what, I will not lose my faith. Because truth be told, I've sinned against God. I've done some crazy things. I'm not going to get into that now, but I've done things out of anger, out of stupidity, out of ignorance, out of willful disobedience, things that I know are literally a vice, like a monkey on my back, things that I know I shouldn't do, but I do them anyway. I've been that wild girl. I've been wild. I've been crazy. I've been a party animal. I've done those things. I'm not doing them anymore. I think that I was supposed to take those paths in life for right now. And I'm telling you, you better pick a side. And there's only dark and there's only light. And darkness cannot take the light. So you go ahead and choose for yourself. But me personally, I know which side I'm on. Now, when he was in the hospital, he was in a coma for a week. They put him in a coma. They did all these tests on him. And all I can remember is when I was in college at Howard, my grandmother would tell me, always read Psalm 91 out loud. And of course, when you're young, it's stupid. Yeah, all right. And you use it when you're in trouble, right? Well, at that moment, I was that girl. I was in trouble. We were in trouble. I think this was right around the time I, you know, not to put myself out. As a matter of fact, we're not going to even get into that. Just a lot had happened at that time. And I knew I couldn't break down and look at all the things around me happening. I had to stay focused. And so when he was in the hospital, I read Psalms 91 to him. I didn't care if the doctors and nurses were working on him. I continually read that. And if you're not familiar, Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And I declare to you right now, it works. It's real. It's up to you to decide. But guarantee, if you don't choose now, it's going to be chosen for you later. And I hope that this reached you with goodness and with love and with light and with wisdom and discernment and understanding. Because the Most High Living Elohim does know that we need it. Now, if you choose to brush it off, that's on you. It's up to you. No one's going to make you do anything. No one's even going to make you listen to my channel, to my show. But I stand firm that I believe I'm supposed to be doing this right here and right now. May the Most High bless us and keep us in this wicked world that we live.
May we each strive each day, each moment, each hour, each second to be better, to do better, to know better, to try harder, to keep pushing, to not give up, even when we fall, even when we make a mistake, to keep pushing for good, for the light. And may it shine upon you and your thoughts and your soul and your mind. May no evil come before anyone. Any of my listeners, I thank you. I thank you for your time, for your ear. And again, be blessed. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Amethyst Dynasty. Again, this is your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and ready. Blessing you with what you need to hear. So lend me your ear. Have a blessed night, everyone. Shalom. Welcome to Amethyst Dynasty. I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air, blessing you with the fire you need to hear. So, lend me your ear. And it's Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. In the party wagon of the current pandemic situation has not stopped. It is rolling right along, choo-choo-choom, choo-choo-choom. All these fancy things. And we are being bombarded by a barrage of infinite information and new things occurring all around. We know that France has closed their borders. Nobody ever goes in. Nobody ever comes out. For my Willy Wonka fans out there, you know exactly what I'm saying. It's really important for us to make amends within our minds to realize times have changed and changed quickly. They have. It's shocking the amount of changes that have occurred at once, almost to the point of absolute dismay. And I say that because suddenly, within a blink of our eyes, everything as we know it has changed. And I don't think that anyone actually has quite grasped the amount of changes that have occurred all at once and acceleratedly so. So I just wanted to take this time to broadcast. It's been a few days. A lot has happened. I took a little bit of time away from the podcast just to think, observe, to take care of myself, my body. And I have a little story for you. So I had a wisdom tooth that broke, right? And I'd lost my job in November and I haven't had the funds to go and get it pulled. So I'm thinking I had a toothache, but this one on Saturday night around 10 p.m., it kicked into full gear. Like, my whole right side of my face was plunging with pain. And so by the time Sunday morning rolled around, I was like, okay, I've got to see if they can send me some antibiotics. I did not want to go to the ER. I was like, F that. Not I said the cat and not I said the dog. So I called, right? And they're like, the nurse was just asking me what my symptoms were. I told her, I was like, my ear is really like ringing. It's throbbing. It hurts. And my right side of my face is in pain, like someone's bashing me upside the head with a brick and a cinder block wrapped in a box. And so she was like, well, for you to have had this pain all night, I want you to come in within 4 hours. And so I was just like, damn, y'all can't just call it in. You know what I mean? I really, with the situation, I have a small child. I'm not going to expose myself or my family to anything viral. So if I can avoid coming to the hospital, boom. So she was just like, come in. So I took her advice. I went in before the 4 hour period. Didn't bring my child. I had someone watch him. And it was a smooth ride. No one was there. Thank you, God. But I did get a mask. I did see the signs. I did get asked, you know, if I had been out of the country, if I had any fever, chills. And side note, I think they should become a little more stringent when people are like, no, 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 to their questions before the questions are done. I think that it should be mandatory that people answer each question specifically. But I mean, what does it really matter if community spread has begun? You know what I mean? But I guess those are the protocols and it is what it is. But basically, I had a sinus infection as well as a earache. And I was able to get my medicine and be in and out. There was no one there at that time. I think that there was someone. I could hear them further down the hall outside of my room that was hacking, but I didn't ask any questions. I just wanted to get what I needed to feel better and get the hell out of there before, you know, entrapment begins. Okay, that's what my mind was like. Oh, so I get my medicine, blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, today I heard that as of yesterday, they are making people call first, set up an appointment. There's a drive-through testing center there, and people in hazmat suits are coming out to test people. And I say that to say that we should be very aware of our surroundings, and we should also be privy to the fact that now we're moving right along. Choo-choo-choom, choo-choo-choom. All these fancy things. Because in a blink of an eye, like just from Sunday to now, is a major change of how protocol is going with, you can't just pop up at the hospital. You can't just go here and go there and pick this up. There was some talk, several people I've heard this from. I haven't seen any video yet. It's been kind of quiet today. But apparently there was some fighting going on at the Walmart and HEB or something like that. And I think that it's a travesty and a telling tale of where we are society-wise of perilous times. And, you know, I don't always go biblical on my channel. Even though everything is biblical, I try to stay on the physical realm with some things that have been happening. But I can't really do that now. I think we are in perilous times. I think that everyone should be prepared to be quarantined for longer than 2 weeks. What are people gonna do? Who's prepared to survive in America? If people are shutting down their borders, you have to recognize that that means something about your shipments into the ports. Amazon closed their shipment warehouse today. A lot of grocery stores, if you had been paying attention to the news, you know, had been going through Amazon. Time is going to tell in the next few days what's happening here. This is just a bonus right now. This isn't any big facts for you. I'm taking a little moment away. I will have a real broadcast soon, I promise. As far as the nurse interview, the nurse from New Orleans, that's still happening, but they're getting hit really bad right now. And I understand that my source is busy. She's, you know, dealing with it. And as soon as that is ready to go, you all will hear it. live and in color from Amethyst Dynasty. I'm going to cut this short for a minute. I'm really disturbed today in my soul to hear that people can't feed their families already. The cupboards are bare, baby. But I promise you when I come back, I will be livelier for you. Definitely coming with the facts. Nothing but the facts. Nothing but the motherfucking facts. And I will share as much as I can about people getting some resources in our Hill Country area as well. If you visit Foxtail Botanicals here in Cottonwood Shores, the lovely Karen Thesis will have soup for children or families who need it. You can call up the company. I will have more info on that for you, but do keep that in mind. I wasn't sure if I wanted to blast it on the broadcast, but I know that there are a lot of hungry people and people who can't get what they need, and I just want to be able to help you. Stay vigilant and stay up, my lovely Dynakins, my Amethyst Dynakins, and I'll be back shortly. Again, this is Amethyst Dynasty, and I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air, bringing you the fire you need to hear, so lend me your ear. Welcome to Amethyst Dynasty. I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air, blessing you with the fire you need to hear. So, lend me your ear. And it is 9:57 p.m. on this rockin' and rollin' Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. And I'm coming to you live, like I promised, with Miss Nurse, as we shall call her. You can go ahead and say hello, Miss Nurse.
Hello, everyone.
And I just wanted to get a little perspective from a nurse's point of view with the current situation that we have going on with what is now a global pandemic and has suddenly changed our lives immediately. So, Miss Nurse, how's your day going today?
I'm busy, as it has been for the past few weeks.
Okay. Starting in like February, you'd say?
I would say probably last week was the busiest week, and it's just been like nonstop.
Nonstop. Can you tell our listeners where you are right now?
Well, right now I'm in New Orleans.
The city like no other.
And I am a nurse here, and I've been a nurse for more than 30 years here.
Oh, wow.
Never seen anything like this in my career. But I think that we're doing a good job getting the word out, spreading what people need to do.
Right.
I feel like people are kind of panicking, but I feel like, just in my own personal opinion, this may have probably, you know, been going around for a while now. Because I can remember back in, say, like maybe September or maybe earlier than that. And, I kept saying, man, everybody's getting the flu this year. Everybody's getting the flu. And a lot of people that I have worked with had the flu, and they've never had to take off work for the flu.
You just go to work.
Yeah. They couldn't really shake it. So now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, hey, maybe that could have been, you know.
Well, we have something I do on Amethyst Dynasty when we get some big information or somebody needs to wake up and listen and hear, or just a hello. And I have a thing called gavel. And I need you to repeat that, because I've been telling my listeners this thing has been around longer than what they've let us know in the media around December, when it so happened to show up in China. Will you tell us again, for those just joining us in the middle of this first beginning part, that this thing you think has been around with the symptoms for longer than what they've declared?
Definitely, because as I said, back in, I think I want to say maybe September, could have been even earlier, and a lot of the people that I worked with, and they were, you know, getting the flu, and they really couldn't
shake the symptoms.
Yeah, they couldn't get it, and they couldn't understand it, and I was like, wow, it sure is a lot of people getting the flu this year.
Would you say that there were a lot of deaths, more than usual?
Well, I'm not really sure about that because I don't know, you know, I don't know the number of deaths from flu or whatever per year. I have, you know, I didn't keep up with that. So.
Well, what about in New Orleans? Would you say that it was the worst flu season that you've seen so far?
Yes, I would. I would say that.
Now, I do have some questions here, and again, if you aren't able to answer, or you don't feel comfortable doing so, you can just say, you know, pass. No one here is going to judge you for that. We are very thankful to have another perspective. I will say that I've asked a few other nurses around my area if they would do something like this with me, just so that people can have a little more understanding of what we're dealing with, outside of just looking at the news or hearing hearsay or rumors or whatnot on social media. And I will say that you are the most forthcoming. Everyone else turned it down. And I understand why. I understand, you know, it can get a little spiffy with what's going on. But first question, Miss Nurse, do you think we're prepared for this pandemic? And what is a pandemic? Two-part question.
Okay. So first of all, I'll start with the second part. So a pandemic is a disease that has spread internationally, whereas epidemic, it may, you know, be in certain areas. But with a pandemic, it's spread globally. Okay. And I forgot the first part.
Are we prepared?
I would say that we are prepared at the best that we can be. I feel like this is a very fluid situation, and things are changing hour by hour. And I feel like everybody's trying to keep up. And I'm sure that, you know, there are people that are working on a cure, but as for right now, that hasn't happened. So I feel like we're
At the best you can be without it being escalating.
Right.
So let's just say it escalates. Would you predict that the healthcare system will be overwhelmed? And what about in New Orleans specifically, since that's where you are? And we are, even though we're a big city with a big heart and soul, I think that we are smaller in our stature as far as the network we have, the hospital capacity we may be able to contribute to. Do you think if it escalates any more than where we are, that you all will be overwhelmed, or the healthcare system in general?
I think that if it continues at the rate that it is, we may be overwhelmed, but I feel like it's just a panic stage, and I think that hopefully people will calm down, you know, a little bit, and maybe they won't run to the hospital at the first little sign of a cough, or, you know, and maybe the self-quarantine, because there's no cure. So really, when you do come into the hospital, we are only treating your symptoms. And right, this is something that if they are not severe symptoms, that you can do at home. You know, and, you know, if you need to take your Tylenol, drink your fluids, get your rest. And those are things that you can really, you know, do at home. Now, of course, if you are having difficulty breathing, then that way, and a high fever, then of course that's going to be, you know, something that you would have to, you know, seek medical attention for. But I'm saying for me, if it were me, if I, you know, did come down with it, I would personally like to stay in my own home instead of going to a facility where there are numerous other people.
Right, and you can get re-inoculated with the virus again and again. Speaking of which, have you heard that you can become, you can be symptomatic, like, you can heal from it and you can catch it again. It can show up again in your system since there is no cure.
So I've heard talk about it, but I have not researched it, and I have not looked at any scientific evidence that that is truly the case. Okay. But I have heard people talking, you know.
About how many cases are we at in New Orleans about right now? And do you think it will surge?
I'm pretty sure we're over 100 just by watching the news, and I think it will surge, and after that surge, I think it will start to kind of drop off.
Okay. Do you think you all have enough hospital beds and medical supplies?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is medical supplies. That would be the biggest challenge. As far as beds, I think that, you know, I think we'll be okay with that, with hospital beds area-wide. Okay. I think we will be okay. Again, that is my opinion.
And that's contingent upon if it escalates as well, correct?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, and I think as the newness of it kind of dies down, people may feel like they can just, you know, treat themselves and possibly stay home and just self-quarantine themselves.
Okay. So as far as for you all as our healthcare providers, what type of protective personal equipment are you all being told to wear? And do you think that's enough? Do you feel safe?
I feel like it's enough. I feel like, in my personal opinion, again, as healthcare providers, we are exposed to a lot of, say, viruses or bacteria or whatever, and I feel like we kind of build up an immune system to it because little doses of it over the years, and I think that the healthcare providers are pretty resilient. And I, in my opinion, I feel like that's one of the reasons why.
So what do you think about the so many healthcare workers being affected actually right now in critical condition across the nation, even globally, because they're treating so many patients and they're becoming infected? Does that worry you? Are you all taking extra precautions? And how is that really possible if you're wearing masks and eye coverings and gloves? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so you don't necessarily have to get infected at work because, you know, healthcare providers are not at work 24/7. They live like everybody else. They go to the grocery store and, you know, gas station and all of that. And you could come into contact with people every day.
That's
and not
true.
Know. And the person may not even know at the time.
So what's the biggest obstacle, since there are so many people who may be asymptomatic and not showing symptoms, but they're basically super spreaders? What's the rate of that? Because we've heard one person that's asymptomatic can infect 9 people in one sitting or even more than that. And that's what's causing these surges that we're seeing in cases. Would you say that's a factual observation, or is that an unknown aspect of this virus right now? What is the exponential rate of a person's spreading it around?
Well, I can't really comment on that because I'm really not, you know, versed in that. I you know, and I don't want to say something that I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next question. What's happening to people who are dying? Are we cremating them like China? Are we supposed to just do a regular burial? Are they still virulent when they pass away? Has that been discussed?
Well, I have not heard of anything discussed. I did hear that one person that passed away, the wife was trying to make arrangements, but she was self-quarantined herself. So I'm not really sure if, you know, people are being cremated or they're having services. Or I think we've only had 3 deaths in the city so far, so I'm really not.
You're not sure what the...
Right.
Do you know if bodies after they are post-mortem, are they still contagious? Do we know that yet?
I don't know that. I don't know.
Is that, that's probably something everyone's trying to figure out, right?
Probably.
Ooh, that's such a scary situation. I do want to kind of delve into something I've been hearing that I want to clear up. It's 3 things. One, that it's just the elderly that can be greatly affected. 2, that Black people can't catch this disease. I'm really tired of hearing that. And 3, that no one that's really young, like in their 20s, et cetera, will be affected as hard. Because I've seen some things, especially in Iran and Italy, that there are a lot of young people who are affected. And I think that in our country, we have this tendency to pacify things to make it seem more hopeful, or like we're not, it's above us having to deal with it. And I think that's a lot of what's happening with the shock value and the panicking in the stores, et cetera, because what we thought wasn't going to happen is happening, and it's happening exponentially and expeditiously. So can you kind of clear that up, this misconception that only our elderly people are getting it, Black folks can't get it because of the melanin in our skin, and young people are kind of obsolete?
I would not say that young people are immune to it. I would say that anybody can get it, even though in the cases that we have been ruling out, it has been, I would say, more middle-aged people. I would say maybe in the range of maybe 40s to 60s.
Okay.
Not so many people that's over the age of 65. I mean, there are people that are coming in, but the majority of the cases that I've seen have been in the 40s to 60s range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what do you say to there being so many of so many melanated folks saying that this is above them? I've been seeing that a lot. I've heard it. I even kind of spoke about that. I just said that even if that was so, we should not tempt God. But that is not proven. And I think that it is highly irresponsible. And it may be a reason why we're seeing some of our people still traveling and not taking it as seriously as should be taken.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Definitely, that's a misnomer there. I actually work in a mid-city area.
Okay, I was about to gavel you and say, don't tell us where you work exactly now.
No. Where the majority of the patient population and some African American. Yeah.
That's heavy news. To that, would you say that you're concerned or worried? And is the risk to the public still low, like we were told?
at the beginning of this situation?
I feel like if people would take the necessary precautions, you know, your social distancing, covering your cough, not gathering, washing your hands. I think if people would take the necessary precautions that, you know, we will be fine. And I'm a firm believer. I'm not worried at all. I believe in God, and I believe that, you know, He is going to take care of me.
Amen. Last question, because I know you've been working hard, and I want you to get your rest so that you stay well and vigilant. How major is it that in our generation, in our world right now, we are being declared in a global pandemic? How major is that?
Well, I would say it's very major. And anytime, I've never seen a whole state shut down, you right. know. That right there speaks volumes and that can, you know, testify as to how serious this is. So people really need to take heed and necessary precautions.
Do you think we should be prepared for being quarantined or in home hunkering down longer than 2 weeks? I know I said that was the last question, but this came to me. I forgot to write it down.
I'm not sure, because I was really surprised it got to this point. So I think it's a good idea. But that I'm not sure about. I don't, you know, things are happening out of the ordinary. So
every day. So it's fluid. Yeah. The 2 weeks is fluid. Be prepared to keep your kids longer than 2 weeks. Oh, wow. So I'm not going to keep you any longer.
Okay.
I think that you really blessed us with some great information. It gave a totally different perspective, a factual perspective. And I do hope that this does smooth out, that this is just a moment in time that we can look back and say, hey, you almost got us 2020, but we're back. But yeah. In the event that it is not, and we are here longer than 2 weeks, maybe even more than a month, I want everyone to stay vigilant and remember to prepare, not panic. And Miss Nurse, I really thank you for taking your time to interview with me. And perhaps we can do this again later, you know, if you're up to it. I will let you go ahead and go. But to my Amethyst Dynakins, thank you for listening. Again, this is Amethyst Dynasty. I'm your host, Savoir Faire, coming to you live and on the air, blessing you with the fire you need to hear. So lend me your ear. And again, stay vigilant, look up, and we'll be back later. Thank you.